This show is brought to you by the Maids Network. Want to get serious in your cleaning game? Join my group. It's one of the larger Facebook groups just for cleaning business owners. I look forward to seeing you there.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome to Cleaning Business Life. Today, I am with my wonderful co-host, Ms. Kimberly Gonzalez, and we are going to talk about what should happen should you need to file an insurance claim, or if or when you should file an insurance claim. And I hope to God, you know, both Kim and I strongly suggest that you carry at least general liability insurance. Please don't come to us later after you've had a blunder and go, what do I do?
I'm laughing because it's like, we hear it all the time. Like, oh, I don't have insurance, or I can't afford insurance. And I'm like, you cannot afford not to have insurance for your business. Like,
it's that should be liability.
Yeah, that should be like, once you get your LLC or you start your business, that should be the first thing on your list.
Budget for it.
Yes.
Please don't tell me you can't afford it, because you're not going to be able to afford the claim and the firing and the suing that happens after, because you chose not to have. And legitimately, it's still pretty affordable considering what it does cover. It's $500 or $600 for the year.
Think about
that down into monthly payments. That'd be what, $50 or $60 a month. I mean, it's not too terrible right now.
And if you think about, let's say you go to a job and the job, like, you're going to make, let's say $200, even $150 to $200, let's say $200 for that clean. And you break something, and that was over $400. Like, let's say you broke the sliding glass door. Let's say you broke the shower door or something that was big. Think about that. Like, that's your whole check right there. So always be prepared for having your insurance, because it may cost you more than what your insurance payments are.
Right. So, and every time we bring up insurance, and I know I've brought this story up before, I think of the person who was in the older house, and the homeowner wanted her to get the spider web that was hanging off the chandelier. And the chandelier was from the 70s, and it had these really long panes. It was a beautiful, like, art deco piece. It could have been older than the 70s. But in any case, it wasn't secured to the ceiling very well. It had been sitting there probably 50 years. And she inadvertently hit it at the right angle with the high duster, and the whole thing came down. Now, hypothetically, we can go over the mechanics of that. And no, it probably wasn't the cleaner who caused it to fall. It just happened to be that she touched it. So yeah, she was blamed. But then the chandelier fell straight down 25 feet and down to the bottom of the stairs. And they had mirrored foyer landings that went up the stairs. So it's a long cylinder chandelier. It hits the ground, several pieces impale the stairs and everything else, but then they bounce off of the floor and they impale the mirrors that are on the bottom in the landing. And one of them actually impaled one of the workers who was supporting the ladder. She got impaled right here in her shoulder, missed her lung, thankfully.
Oh my
God. All of this for a spider web. It ended up being like a $40,000 claim. And I, you know, thank God she, you know, and a workman's comp claim, the person had to have emergency surgery. I mean, all of this went down all over a spider web. I will never forget that story for as long as I live. And it was about $45,000 just for that part of it, the general liability part. And then the workman's comp, I don't remember, she had mentioned how much her workman's comp went up. And it genuinely was, I'm trying to do a good thing here for this homeowner and make them happy. And she ended up getting sued in the whole, I mean, it was a whole.
Can you imagine not having insurance for that? Can you imagine, right, like, if you did not have insurance? It just takes one time, you guys, one time. And Shannon and I see it all the time in the groups. It just takes one time for an incident to happen. Fall right back up the stairs. Anything could happen. So always have insurance. It's worth it. We're going to tell you that again. So if you guys are listening right now and you don't have insurance, please go get insurance today. Mm-hmm. Put it on your priority list. Make it the top priority. So have you had to file an insurance claim before, Shannon?
Thankfully, we had safety meetings, and we went over protocols on, you know, doing certain things that were high risk. Like, we never went over a 4-foot ladder. In the beginning of my business, we crawled all over everything. You know, 9-foot ladder, we'd have it dropped off, or 12-foot ladder, and we would crawl up in the pot shelves and the soffits, and we would do all kinds of really wild, crazy things. And then as I grew and expanded, it wasn't just Shannon up there in the soffits, it was other employees. And I looked at the, I started to compare because workman's comp insurance is not cheap, especially depending on what state you're in. And if they said that if you stay below a 4-foot ladder, your insurance premium would be half. I'm like, boom. All right, no more, no more ladder work.
Exactly. And,
we thankfully have never had to, but I've had workman's comp claims in the other industries that I have worked in. I come from the hotel and restaurant industry, and I worked in that industry for over 22 years. I've worked every position in the house, and we had workman's comp claims there. So I know what to do if you were to have to file a claim. Now, it's a little different when you're a business owner and you're trying to figure out, you know, they hand you this stack of 87 pages and go, here's your policy. Make sure you read it. And you're like, yeah, I'm sticking that in the file.
I'll read it later. I've and then, never then had something the file. Happen
and you're like, where's that file? Where's the 87 pages?
I've never
in here somewhere. You're thumbing through whatever, and you probably mislabeled it in. You're panicking because someone's bleeding out or they're on their way to the hospital. Where is it? Where's the workman's comp policy?
Like flipping through the pages, trying to find it.
So if you have a good insurance person, and I know a lot of things are online now and you don't have insurance persons very much anymore, educate yourself on what the process is. God forbid you have something happen. Like if you have a workman's comp incident, what you need to do. There is a protocol that has to be followed within a certain amount of time frame. And if you do not follow the protocol, for example, if you have an employee who's high, then you're going to pay workman's comp for someone who is high when it was actually their fault because they were high on the job. So make sure that you are going through bullet point one, bullet point two. What do I have to do? Three. Where do I have to fill? I have to fill out this, you know, triplicate. It's usually 9 or 10 pages and it describes the incident. And then you have to have statements, witness statements and the whole deal. And then sometimes there's police reports filed. Sometimes it's not. There's all kinds of things that you have to follow in order to get the claim. Now, the general liability element of it is a little more complicated. Workman's comp is pretty cut and dry. It's usually for injuries. There's a protocol you follow. It's pretty A, B, C, D, E, F, G. General liability, I believe, and this has become more gray than before, is a little more harder to understand. Like why do I need this, right? Why do I need this general liability insurance? It's an extra $1,000 a year that I'm paying for, and it covers me for blah, blah, blah. But then when you finally have a claim, it doesn't cover that because it's considered gross negligent what you did or what your cleaning tech did. Mm-hmm. What kind of incidences did you have, Miss Kim?
I didn't have any, luckily, knock on wood.
Right.
I like you.
Put your hand on the Bible.
I'm like, it did not happen. But I will say the reason why a lot of my insurance claims and workers' comps did not happen is because, like you, I put systems in place. Mm-hmm. I did trainings. Like, so we did safety trainings on different ways that, you know, how do you go down the stairs? Like, we told our customers that my cleaning techs will vacuum going up the stairs. We do not go back down the stairs, like going backwards. You know, we talked about the whole 4-foot ladder, like my insurance. And I would just say, hey, in my agreement, we do not use anything higher than a 4-foot ladder because my insurance company will not use it. We do not move furniture. So if you want your furniture vacuumed under, you have to move the furniture for our insurance. So I had all these things in place, and I think that really helped. And safety, like doing constant safety training, I think that helped. Like that was the reason why. And then I would reward my employees. So if we didn't have anything that broke or anything that was like that, we did, you know, a reward thing. So we had like a party and I'd pay for a big old lunch and stuff. So, and I know they do that at Costco too. So.
Right. And if you have X amount of days where you're injury free or accident free, then they reward you. The only incident I could think of that I had with general liability, and this is why we don't pull out refrigerators anymore, is we did a house and we weren't even the last ones, but we happened to be the ones that, you know, were to blame. So we pulled out a refrigerator line and somehow or another, the line got pinched. It was an extra long line. I've never seen a long water line. There's a lot of reasons why they don't put extra long water lines on the refrigerator, because they can get run over. They can get pinched. All kinds of things happen. But for some reason or another, we were doing this house. It was a remodel. And because my employee admitted that they were the last one to touch it. And I really still to this day don't believe, I can hear my dog, that we were the last ones to touch it. I think maybe a contractor went in there or maybe the homeowner did. But it caused the line to be pinched, which for some reason there was some sort of trigger mechanism in the refrigerator line, and it leaked and it ruined the floor, and it was a $35,000 claim. Plus I got yelled at and all the other unpleasantness that happens when bad things go wrong. But after that, we made a policy change, and we still to this day will not, if you want the behind of your refrigerator done or your oven, you as the homeowner need to pull it out.
Yep. That's what we said too.
And we're happy to do that. If, because we're not all small. If my girls can't get back there, then they can't get back there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the reality of it. If they can't get back there, they can maybe take a vacuum and vacuum it up. But if you're having a cow because a cleaning tech can't get behind the refrigerator because the area is so small, and you go, how did they get the refrigerator in here anyway? So that's the thing with me.
And have that stuff in your agreement, you guys. So when you guys do your agreement, make sure that you have it written out in your agreement about moving the furniture, like I did, about, hey, you want your couches vacuumed under, then they need to be moved.
Right.
If you want for move in and move out cleans, or for the a la carte, you know, if you wanted the extras, you have to move out the fridge and you have to push it back. So somebody has to be there to push it back. Same thing.
Right, because we won't do it. we won't touch it. You are on your own.
Yep.
$35,000.
Because you can scratch the floors. You know, I've seen it several times, like where people move the furniture and they scratch these beautiful floors. And then guess what? They have to file an insurance claim because that whole wood floor, let's say, you know, the flooring, the wood that they used was, you know, 10 years ago. And guess what? They need to find the wood that matches throughout the house.
Right.
So guess what? You're going to have to replace it to have it match throughout the house. So,
or it's rosewood imported from Brazil that took 18 months to get, and like this whole dynamic. There, and it happens too with what's the old school flooring that they used to put in everything in the 80s? Vinyl.
Vinyl.
Yes. If you have a little old, and this typically is in the older homes with little old ladies, and they want you to get behind the refrigerator, and the refrigerator's been sitting there so long, it inadvertently,
yes,
rollers, it, yes, will actually stick to the floor, and you're not realizing it when you're pulling out.
You're tearing the vinyl. You're
tearing the vinyl. And once it's torn, the whole piece of vinyl has to be replaced. Not only does it smell because there's gases that have been stuck under there forever, but the whole thing tears. And then 9 times out of 10, even though vinyl is indestructible most of the time, you can't find the same kind of vinyl to put back. Then you have to pay someone to install it. I mean, it's a whole can of worms. So I had the vinyl
in our bathroom for this house that we live in our bathroom, and there was an incident, I won't go into details with my husband, but there was an incident where the whole toilet, the back part of the toilet where, you know, holds the water, what, mm-hmm, is that called, you know, the tank uh-huh, for the water toilet, busted. Like, he broke it and water went anywhere, everywhere, and we had vinyl. So we had that old vinyl, like from the original, from the house, because our house is 24 years old. So it was like the original vinyl. And so we had to, like, it, water got underneath because the vinyl was kind of lifting anyways. It ended up getting underneath it. So we ended up having to replace it all because you can't find it anymore. So yeah, it's vinyl. Ugh.
It's amazing to me, but yes, it's so use caution when you are having to put your systems in place for safety. So obviously no more pulling out appliances. We just won't do it. Trash compactors, same deal. We won't pull out those. I know people are like, you didn't just get back there. I'm like, no, not happening. Sorry. Ovens, same deal. Most ovens now are on rollers and they're pretty easy to move, but don't take the chance, because you have to remember, if you want to work on your business instead of in it, you have to have systems in place that your cleaning techs have to follow. And if you have 1099s, you should have a whole education process in case they don't know. And you can do that with a meet and greet, or, you know, would you pull out an oven if someone asked you to do it? It's like a trick question, right? Because then, or you can give them what your policies in place are and they can understand that way too. There's a whole different element that you do, because you have to protect your nest egg, right? You guys hear me talk, I'm preaching it from the choir, that you have to, you know, you want to build something that you can either sell or gift to a family member, should they want to take over the empire that you have created. So, and the only way to do that is to create systems in place that are for safety. I believe, and I'm trying to remember who it is. There was someone in one of the groups, she had had general liability insurance and she had 1099s and it was a couch. There was an upholstery to the couch. Something happened where the 1099 ruined the couch. So it became this whole dynamic over who was going to pay for the couch. And she had insurance on her for her cleaning, but she didn't have insurance for her 1099s, which you shouldn't have because your 1099 should carry their own insurance. Yep. And I don't think the 1099 ended up having insurance. So she ended up having to pay. It was a brand new couch. It was like $2,000 for this. I don't know why anyone would want to put a brand new $2,000 couch inside a short-term rental for people to do things on that we won't address here. My face is turning red. So make sure that you are understanding what the protocols are and that you are constantly reminding them of safety, 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 like a broken record. When
even
I
use products, Shannon, even products.
Even your products, I can't tell you how many times I've spoken to homeowners when they've sprayed stuff on stone or what's the group that has a lot of subcontractors. It's the janitorial Facebook group and it's all contractors in there. And I mean this in the nicest way possible. You guys are hacks. I don't know how else. To put it lightly, you guys, you don't know what you're doing. And I mean this in the nicest manner. When it comes to chemical safety, I've watched you guys recommend the most asinine things. You might as well just take battery acid and just squirt it all over the bathroom walls and hope for the best.
Shannon and I cringe when we see these things, you guys. I don't think you understand. We see, it gives us like little mini heart attacks.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host, Matt Heslin, brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Right, because if you're in this for the long term, you're in this to teach someone to benefit themselves and not put harm to themselves or the product they're putting it on. There is a reason why toilet bowl cleaner is only for the toilet. And the reason why, if you know how, if anyone's watched that show, I'm sure it's still on YouTube, How It's Made, you can watch the one on how they make toilets. It's porcelain. What is porcelain? Porcelain is glass, right? There's a clay base and then there's a glass overlay. So when you're putting the toilet bowl cleaner in there, it's sliding down into acid for porcelain. When someone goes, use oven cleaner, that is an acid for metal.
you can use oven cleaner in the shower. That's a big thing. Oh, you can use the oven cleaner in the shower. I'll help get rid of all the like rust and hard water. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. But yeah,
As it takes off the final layer, it's an acid. You're putting an acid for metal on an acid that's only meant for like fiberglass, or if it's stone, you're taking the finish off.
I would never want to stand on that as a homeowner, would you?
No. And I've had even homeowners tell me, well, we just use oven cleaner. I'm like, I don't want to know. Don't tell me. La, 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 la. I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Or even like these cleaners that use the oven cleaner, like, and go for it. You know, I'm natural. So of course I don't use oven cleaner, but when you clean the ovens and they don't put something down underneath the oven and they have these wood floors and they spray the oven cleaner and it drips down into these beautiful wood floors and then it eats the wood floors.
Right.
That can cause an insurance. So it comes back to the training, you guys. So really be training.
And you should, and while we're talking about, I was going to do a whole episode on just oven cleaning, but you should have in your oven cleaning kit, I'm not going to talk about all of the details of what that is. You should have some sort of, and you need to ask this when you're like, we've had five oven cleanings this week. I need my oven cleaned. It is because Easter's coming and I just clued in that Easter is coming and I'm like, the kids have no school tomorrow. Oh no. So the wood floor thing is a good reminder. So you should actually have extra towels. when you are spraying oven cleaner and they have the new LVT floors or the wood laminate or whatever they've had installed in their kitchen, which looks absolutely beautiful, you need to use due diligence to check to make sure that chemical does not end up on the floor. We had two this week and I had to physically go over because they were all freaked out, and thankfully they were local, on how to handle it delicate without ruining the floor. Because if you ruin the floor, it's a huge claim.
Yeah. Or even the ovens that aren't meant to have oven cleaner. And
you know, a lot of those, it should be steamed, right?
And a $2,000 oven, or, you know, it's a Wolf oven, and then you're not supposed to use oven cleaner in it, and you do, and you ruin it. Guess what? Insurance claim.
Right. And the insurance claim probably won't cover it because you should have known better. So when you have the floor situation, you need to have a big beach towel, an old towel, and you need to put plastic on it. So typically we put plastic on the bottom, beach towel, plastic on the top, and we're constantly checking to make sure nothing has dripped. Because, and it's like an every 15 minute timer, they're over there making sure. And that if anything does end up on the floor, that it's immediately addressed because you're wanting to check. And if it's a steam oven, which I have one because I just had to buy new appliances. Every appliance broke, like Kim's last year.
Still happening for me.
There is a steam option. And I don't know. And this was a big topic with one of the homeowners this week because we were talking about oven cleaning. And she goes, when you steam it, she goes, I know when you do the self-cleaning cycle, and this is a food for thought, it releases this chemical that has five syllables. I can't think of it off the top of my head. And she had had birds and I have birds. So we were talking about that. And she goes, well, if you turn on the steam option, does it still release that chemical? I'm like, that is a good question because I have birds at my house. I have a lot of birds. So I don't want to hurt any of my birds. But I don't know if the steam would heat up enough to cause the chemical to be released or not. So this is a good question to know, right?
Exactly. And I have a YouTube that I made. So if you guys are interested, I made a YouTube video on how to clean an oven without the oven cleaner. And it's just as easy as if you had oven cleaner.
Right.
So you guys can check that out and we'll put that in the link if that's okay, Shannon.
Yeah, we can. And be careful with the Pure Evergreen product too, because it can, I'm not saying it will, but it could potentially leave a spot on the floor. So you also want to protect any chemical that you put down in an oven. You want to protect the floor, especially
exactly.
The LVT or MVT or GST or whatever it is.
Yes, so always have that protection down.
For that. But I think those are the major ones for that. The other insurance claims I've seen in our industry is it's usually a solo lady who lives by herself who has a really large house who probably shouldn't be living on her own. And she went to too many rock concerts in the 60s, so she's a little hard of hearing. And she doesn't hear that her toilet that the cleaner went and checked and cleaned and washed everything off and flushed it is running, and then it overflows, and then there's an insurance claim there. Now, legitimately, as far as I've seen, you can file a claim because that's not gross negligence. That was just an accident. That's what happens. I've seen a lot of people where they had a two-level home and the person took a phone call and forgot to turn off the water, and the water kept running and running and running and then ran down the stairs. And then you see this big bubble that happens on the ceiling down below. I've seen that. That's a gray area. That's kind of an accident, but they should have known better. So it might not be covered. I mean, there's all of these things that can happen. So you want to be careful of those types of things. Shower doors. I've seen where an independent cleaner who didn't have insurance wanted her friend to see how fantastic this house was while the homeowner was, this happened here in town, while the homeowner was away. So this temporary helper went in and scratched her $2,000 shower door, etched it. Needless to say, both of those cleaners were MIA after. And I'm like, she didn't even tell the homeowner she scratched it. She's like, oh, they won't see it. I'm like, oh my God.
And the question is like, know when you need to file an insurance claim, you know, assess it. So if it's something that you could just pay, because we're not saying like file an insurance claim immediately. So like, let's say there was damage done and it was like $400 to $500, you know, for me, you know, when we did have something like that happen that we had to fix, I shelled out $400, $500 for my business and I put money away. So those of you guys know me, I've always been a saver. So I'm like, I always save that money just in case for the emergency stuff. because I didn't want to file an insurance claim because I knew my insurance would go up. So right. I just ended up taking that amount. So then the question is like, if they say, well, this was an antique and this was worth this amount. And that was like, or if it was like, this is new, but it was like, well, like say they had it like for 10 years, they want you to buy a brand new one. You need to assess it to see what the value of it is then, like for now. So like balance it out. So if you're able to pay out of pocket versus, you know, filing an insurance claim, say those insurance claims for something big.
Right. It's called fair market value. So if, hypothetically speaking, if you went in and did someone's laundry and they threw their suit in the laundry and said, this is an Armani suit, you now owe me $5,000. They have to provide a receipt. And if the receipt is older than a year, that suit is no longer worth $5,000. You need to renegotiate the price. Same thing with the antiques. Yeah. Some antiques we just won't touch because there is no fair market value. It's a piece of antiquity. And who wants to ruin someone's Picasso? I don't. So we just don't touch them. The homeowner is responsible. And it says, will not touch. We will not do this. And that way you can make sure that you're covering. And that's when you come and realize how good your negotiation skills are, because you're taking a really hot potato fresh from the oven and you're trying to renegotiate as delicately as possible, because perceived value is actually not fair market value. And make sure that you understand what that is so that you don't get crazy insurance claims. You owe me $9,000 because I've had this vase for 15 years. We actually had someone who put an old photo, I believe this was last year, over her dog bowl of her and her sister. And she wanted $900 for the replacement of said photo. And I flat out told her, no, that we would not replace the photo. I was happy to replace the copy of the photo because I'm sure everyone has digital copies of everything. And I go, and on top of it, I go, I don't actually account. If you nailed it in the wall, I go to the cleaner and nail it in the wall. And she said, no. I said, well, then we touched it. But if it fell after we touched it, that's not my fault. That is your fault because you nailed it into the wall. And I go, and who stores old photos above a dog bowl?
Yeah.
But she wanted $900. Like, no, I don't think so.
I did that house, and I've talked about it before on, you know, in our podcast, the archaeologist's house, the ones with the two couples that have, they do archaeology. So it's like, just old pots. Like there is like this wedding pot that's like was created and it was like, I don't even know how many years old. It was old.
Right. Thousands.
They had stuff all over and they had like these luxury chairs and like their house was just gorgeous. And I remember before I even started with them, I let them know, I'm like, okay, well, this is our insurance, but you know, this is how we're going to clean it. Some of these things we will not clean, you know, because it's just, we can't replace it. The value, like, and I let them know. And I said, what are some places you do not want us to absolutely touch? And so they showed us. So like, that was one thing, you know, we uploaded pictures into their file. So my cleaners knew what not to touch. So be really specific, because that would have been expensive. If we had broken a pot, that would be really pricey.
There isn't a value on pieces of antiquity. That's why we just don't touch them. There is no perceived value on what that could do. Obviously, if it's a museum piece, I've had clients who actually had pilgrim chairs. And so for those of you who do not know what a pilgrim chair is, it legitimately is a piece that should be in a museum, but it is not. It's been handed down from generation to generation. And I would have to tell, she also had, you know, $200,000 Indian rugs. She had the artist's name on the back for insurance reasons. Everything was cataloged. But I would have to tell people, I'm like, so if you're in this house and you need a stepladder, you better not step on that pilgrim chair to get up where you need to go, because you will break it. That pilgrim chair is from the pilgrims, as it traveled across country in the era of pilgrims in the United States. So it's like 500 years old or whatever, right? So it's those are the dynamics of teaching and understanding that we don't use antiques for stepladders, right? She used all of her antiques, but I was like, she was the only person that I had on my list where I'm like, you have to stay home while they clean. She was the only one. Normally I want them out of the way, but I'm like, if something were to happen with them, I want her to be there to assess it and address it right away. And there were certain things that we didn't touch. Like you, she had the $200,000 Indian rugs. They're dyed differently with beetles and stuff. So you couldn't get water on that. It would make everything run. And each carpet tells a story of Indian heritage.
It sounds like my archaeologist house.
Right. So you're just like, you know, you're like, okay, yeah. So don't drop water on the carpet.
And I charge. Make sure you guys charge for those houses. So like, that's when we went to this house, you know, I charged way more than what I charged for my normal houses because it took us a lot longer to clean that house because we had to be so careful.
And it's stressful.
Yes. I probably got gray hair when I started.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Coaching Conversation 2024. This podcast is 100% dedicated to leadership and leadership within the workplace coaching area. We work with companies throughout the world teaching leaders how to coach their employees. This podcast is dedicated to teaching specific strategies, frameworks, coaching models, and now artificial intelligent strategies to help leaders drive greater teamwork, collaboration, cooperation, greater attitudes, better motivation, coaching career development, just to name a few. I hope you'll check out our podcast.
So yeah, that's like a whole thing in insurance. It's the do's and don'ts, knowing when to file a claim and when not to file a claim, and training is our big thing that Shannon and I always say, train, 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 educate.
Training is definitely part of it. Well, if you don't have anything else to contribute to the insurance conversation, or if you want to continue the insurance conversation, please reach out. If you have any questions, obviously Kim and I are not insurance agents.
No.
But we can try to walk you through what needs to be walked through. And we just want the best for what you guys are doing, and you need to have insurance. It's just the cost of doing business. So please make sure you
check
the notes. Even with your insurance, sometimes you'll see your general liability, you'll have marine insurance, and that is actually extra insurance to cover your equipment when you have W-2s. Should someone break into your office and get a cleaning frenzy and want to steal all your vacuums? That's when we stored them at the office. We don't do that. That was like years ago. I'm like, why do I have marine insurance? I don't have my boat on this insurance policy. Why do I have that there? But
reach out to us if you guys got questions, tag us. I know that I'm not on all the time because life gets busy with Shannon and I both have kids and crazy animals in the house and chickens in the house. So we get busy. So feel free to tag us if you guys have questions.
Most definitely. Well, I look forward to seeing you guys soon. If you have any questions, reach out. Take care.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome to Cleaning Business Life. Today, I am with my wonderful co-host, Ms. Kimberly Gonzalez, and we are going to talk about what should happen should you need to file an insurance claim, or if or when you should file an insurance claim. And I hope to God, you know, both Kim and I strongly suggest that you carry at least general liability insurance. Please don't come to us later after you've had a blunder and go, what do I do?
I'm laughing because it's like... we hear it all the time. Like, oh, I don't have insurance, or I can't afford insurance. And I'm like, you cannot afford not to have insurance for your business. Like,
it's that should be liability.
Yeah. That should be like, once you get your LLC or you start your business, that should be the first thing on your list.
Budget to get for it.
Yes.
Please don't tell me you can't afford it, because you're not going to be able to afford the claim and the firing and the suing that happens after, because you chose not to have. And legitimately, it's still pretty affordable considering what it does cover. It's $500 or $600 for the year.
Think about
that down into monthly payments. That'd be what, $50 or $60 a month. I mean, it's not too terrible right now.
And if you think about, let's say you go to a job and the job, like you're going to make, let's say $200, even $200 for that clean, and you break something. And that was over $400. Like, let's say you broke the sliding glass door. Let's say you broke the shower door or something that was big. Think about that. Like, that's your whole check right there. So always be prepared for having your insurance, because it may cost you more than what your insurance payments are.
Right.
So
every time we bring up insurance, and I know I've brought this story up before, I think of the person who was in the older house, and the homeowner wanted her to get the spider web that was hanging off the chandelier. And the chandelier was from the 70s, and it had these really long panes. It was a beautiful like art deco piece. It could have been older than the 70s. But in any case, it wasn't secured to the ceiling very well. It had been sitting there probably 50 years. And she inadvertently hit it at the right angle with the high duster and the whole thing came down. Now, hypothetically, we can go over the mechanics of that. And no, it probably wasn't the cleaner who caused it to fall. It just happened to be that she touched it. So yep. She was blamed. But then the chandelier fell straight down 20, 25 feet in down to the bottom of the stairs. And they had mirrored foyer landings that went up the stairs. So it's a long cylinder chandelier. It hits the ground. Several pieces impale the stairs and everything else. But then they bounce off of the floor and they impale the mirrors that are on the bottom in the landing. And one of them actually impaled one of the workers who was supporting the ladder. She got impaled right here in her shoulder. Missed her lung, thankfully.
Oh my God.
And all of this for a spider web. It ended up being like a $40,000 claim. And I, you know, thank God she, you know, in a workman's comp claim, the person had to have emergency surgery. I mean, all of this went down all over a spider web. I will never forget that story for as long as I live. And it was about $45,000 just for that part of it, the general liability part. And then the workman's comp, I don't remember, she had mentioned how much her workman's comp went up. And it genuinely was, I'm trying to do a good thing here for this homeowner and make them happy. And she ended up getting sued in the whole, I mean, it was a whole.
Can you imagine not having insurance for that? Can you imagine right. Like, if you did not have insurance? It just takes one time, you guys, one time. And Shannon and I see it all the time in the groups. It just takes one time for an incident to happen. Fall right. Back up the stairs. Anything could happen. So always have insurance. It's worth it. We're going to tell you that again. So if you guys are listening right now and you don't have insurance, please go get insurance today. Mm-hmm. Put it on your priority list. Make it the top priority. So have you had to file an insurance claim before, Shannon?
Thankfully, we had safety meetings and we went over protocols on, you know, doing certain things that were high risk. Like we never went over a 4-foot ladder. For in the beginning of my business, we crawled all over everything. You know, 9-foot ladder, we'd have it dropped off, or 12-foot ladder, and we would crawl up in the pot shelves and the soffits, and we would do all kinds of really wild, crazy things. And then as I grew and expanded, it wasn't just Shannon up there in the soffits, it was other employees. And I looked at I started to compare, because workman's comp insurance is not cheap, especially depending on what yep. state you're in. And if they said that if you stay below a 4-foot ladder, your insurance premium would be half, I'm like, boom. No more ladder work.
Exactly.
And, we thankfully have never had to, but I've had workman's comp claims in the other industries that I have worked in. I come from the hotel and restaurant industry, and I worked in that industry for over 22 years. I've worked every position in the house, and we had workman's comp claims there. So I know what to do if you were to have to file a claim. Now, it's a little different when you're a business owner and you're trying to figure out, you know, they hand you this stack of 87 pages and go, here's your policy. Make sure you read it. And you're like, yeah, I'm sticking that in the file.
I'll read it later. I've
and
never had
something
the file.
Happen and you're like, where's that file? Where's the 87 pages?
I've never
in here somewhere, and you're thumbing through whatever, and you probably mislabeled it, and you're panicking because someone's bleeding out or they're on their way to the hospital. Where is it? Where's the workman's comp policy?
Like flipping through the pages trying to find it.
So yeah. If you have a good insurance person, and I know a lot of things are online now and you don't have insurance persons very much anymore, educate yourself on what the process is. God forbid you have something happen. Like if you have a workman's comp incident, what you need to do. There is a protocol that has to be followed within a certain amount of time frame. And if you do not follow the protocol, for example, if you have an employee who's high, then you're going to pay workman's comp for someone who is high when it was actually their fault because they were high on the job. So make sure that you are going through bullet point one, bullet point two. What do I have to do? 3. Where do I have to fill? I have to fill out this, you know, triplicate. It's usually 9 or 10 pages and it describes the incident. And then you have to have statements, witness statements and the whole deal. And then sometimes there's police reports filed. Sometimes it's not. There's all kinds of things that you have to follow in order to get the claim. Now, the general liability element of it is a little more complicated. Workman's comp is pretty cut and dry. It's usually for injuries. There's a protocol you follow. It's pretty A, B, C, D, E, F, G. General liability, I believe, and this has become more gray than before is a little more harder to understand. Like why do I need this? Right. Why do I need this general liability insurance? It's an extra $1,000 a year that I'm paying for, and it covers me for blah, blah, blah. But then when you finally have a claim, it doesn't cover that because it's considered gross negligent what you did or what your cleaning tech did. Mm-hmm. What kind of incidences did you have, Ms. Kim?
I didn't have any, luckily, knock on wood.
Right.
I like you.
Put your hand on the Bible.
I'm like, it did not happen. But I will say the reason why a lot of my insurance claims and workers' comps did not happen is because, like you, I put systems in place. Mm-hmm. I did trainings. Like, so we did safety trainings on different ways that, you know, how do you go down the stairs? Like we told our customers that my cleaning techs will vacuum going up the stairs. We do not go back down the stairs, like going backwards. You know, we talked about the whole 4-foot ladder, like my insurance. And I would just say, hey, in my agreement, we do not use anything higher than a 4-foot ladder because my insurance company will not use it. We do not move furniture. So if you want your furniture vacuumed under, you have to move the furniture for our insurance. So I had all these things in place, and I think that really helped. And safety, like doing constant safety training, I think that helped. Like that was the reason why. And then I would reward my employees. So if we didn't have anything that broke or anything that was like that, we did, you know, a reward thing. So we had like a party and I'd pay for a big old lunch and stuff. So, and I know they do that at Costco too. So.
Right. And if you have X amount of days where you're injury free or accident free, then they reward you. The only incident I could think of that I had with general liability, and this is why we don't pull out refrigerators anymore, is we did a house, and we weren't even the last ones, but we happened to be the ones that, you know, were to blame. So we pulled out a refrigerator line, and somehow or another, the line got pinched. It was an extra long line. I've never seen a long water line. There's a lot of reasons why they don't put extra long water lines on the refrigerator, because they can get run over, they can get pinched, all kinds of things happen. But for some reason or another, we were doing this house. It was a remodel. And because my employee admitted that they were the last one to touch it, and I really still to this day don't believe, I can hear my dog, that we were the last ones to touch it. I think maybe a contractor went in there, or maybe the homeowner did. But it caused the line to be pinched, which for some reason there was some sort of trigger mechanism in the refrigerator line, and it leaked. And it ruined the floor, and it was a $35,000 claim. Plus, I got yelled at and all the other unpleasantness that happens when bad things go wrong. But after that, we made a policy change, and we still to this day will not. If you want the behind of your refrigerator done or your oven, you as the homeowner need to pull it out.
Yep, that's what we said too.
And we're happy to do that if. Because we're not all small. If my girls can't get back there, then they can't get back there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the reality of it. If they can't get back there, they can maybe take a vacuum and vacuum it up. But if you're having a cow because a cleaning tech can't get behind the refrigerator because the area is so small, and you go, how did they get the refrigerator in here anyway? So that's the thing with me.
And have that stuff in your agreement, you guys. So when you guys do your agreement, make sure that you have it written out in your agreement about moving the furniture, like I did, about, hey, you want your couches vacuumed under, then they need to be moved. Right. If you want for move in and move out cleans, or for the a la carte, you know, if you wanted the extras, you have to move out the fridge and you have to push it back. So somebody has to be there to push it back. Same thing.
Right. Because we won't do it. we won't touch it. You are on your own.
Yep.
$35,000.
Because you can scratch the floors. You know, I've seen it several times, like where people move the furniture and they scratch these beautiful floors. And then guess what? They have to file an insurance claim because that whole wood floor, let's say, you know, the flooring, the wood that they used was, you know, 10 years ago. And guess what? They need to find the wood that matches throughout the house.
Right.
So guess what? You're going to have to replace it to have it match throughout the house. So,
or it's rosewood imported from Brazil that took 18 months to get, and like this whole dynamic. And it happens too with what's the old school flooring that they used to put in everything in the 80s? Vinyl.
Vinyl.
Oh, yes. Vinyl, if you have a little old, and this typically is in the older homes with little old ladies, and they want you to get behind the refrigerator, and the refrigerator has been sitting there so long, it inadvertently rollers. It will actually stick to the floor, and you're not realizing it when you're pulling out.
You're tearing the vinyl.
And once it's torn, the whole piece of vinyl has to be replaced. Not only does it smell because there's gases that have been stuck under there forever, but the whole thing tears. And then 9 times out of 10, even though vinyl is indestructible most of the time, you can't find the same kind of vinyl as it put back. Then you have to pay someone to install it. I mean, it's a whole can of worms. So do you,
when I had the vinyl, in our bathroom for this house that we live in our bathroom. And there was an incident. I won't go into details with my husband, but there was an incident where the whole toilet, the back part of the toilet where, you know, holds the water. What is that called? You know, the tank. The tank for the water toilet busted. Like, he broke it and water went anywhere, everywhere. And we had vinyl. So we had that old, old vinyl, like from the original from the house, because our house is 24 years old. So it was like the original vinyl. And so we had to water got underneath because the vinyl was kind of lifting anyways. It ended up getting underneath it. So we ended up having to replace it all because you can't find it anymore. So yeah, it's vinyl. Ugh.
It's amazing to me, but yes, it's so use caution when you are having to put your systems in place for safety. So obviously no more pulling out appliances. We just won't do it. Trash compactors, same deal. We won't pull out those. I know people are like, you can just get back there. I'm like, nope, not happening. Sorry. Ovens, same deal. Most ovens now are on rollers and they're pretty easy to move. But don't take the chance, because you have to remember, if you want to work on your business instead of in it, you have to have systems in place that your cleaning techs have to follow. And if you have 1099s, you should have a whole education process in case they don't know. And you can do that with a meet and greet, or, you know, would you pull out an oven if someone asked you to do it? It's like a trick question, right? Because then, or you can give them what your policies in place are and they can understand that way too. There's a whole different element that you do, because you have to protect your nest egg, right? You guys hear me talk, I'm preaching it from the choir, that you have to, you know, you want to build something that you can either sell or gift to a family member should they want to take over the empire that you have created. So, and the only way to do that is to create systems in place that are for safety. I believe, and I'm trying to remember who it is, there was someone in one of the groups, she had had general liability insurance and she had 1099s, and it was a couch. There was an upholstery to the couch. Something happened where the 1099 ruined the couch. So it became this whole dynamic over who was going to pay for the couch. And she had insurance on her for her cleaning, but she didn't have insurance for her 1099s, which you shouldn't have, because your 1099 should carry their own insurance. Yep. And I don't think the 1099 ended up having insurance. So she ended up having to pay. It was a brand new couch. It was like $2,000. For this, I don't know why anyone would want to put a brand new $2,000 couch inside a short-term rental for people to do things on that we won't address here. My face is turning red. So make sure that you are understanding what the protocols are and that you are constantly reminding them of safety, 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 like a broken record. When
even products, Shannon.
Even your products. I can't tell you how many times I've spoken to homeowners when they've sprayed stuff on stone, or what's the group that has a lot of subcontractors? It's the janitorial Facebook group, and it's all contractors in there. And I mean this in the nicest way possible. You guys are hacks. I don't know how else to put it lightly. You guys, you don't know what you're doing. And I mean this in the nicest manner. When it comes to chemical safety, I've watched you guys recommend the most asinine things. You might as well just take battery acid and just squirt it all over the bathroom walls and hope for the best.
Shannon and I cringe when we see these things, you guys. I don't think you understand. We see it gives us like little mini heart attacks.
Right. Because if you're in this for the long term, you're in this to teach someone to benefit themselves and not put harm to themselves or the product they're putting it on. There is a reason why toilet bowl cleaner is only for the toilet. And the reason why, if anyone's watched that show, I'm sure it's still on YouTube, How It's Made. You can watch the one on how they make toilets. It's porcelain. What is porcelain? Porcelain is glass, right? There's a clay base and then there's a glass overlay. So when you're putting the toilet bowl cleaner in there, it's sliding down into acid for porcelain. When you, when someone goes, use oven cleaner, that is an acid for metal.
you can use oven cleaner in the shower. That's a big thing. Oh, you can use the oven cleaner in the shower. I'll help get rid of all the like rust and hard water. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. But yeah,
like, as it takes off the final layer, it's an acid. You're putting an acid for metal on an acid that's only meant for like fiberglass. Or if it's stone, you're taking the finish off.
I would never want to stand on that as a homeowner. Would you?
No. And I've had even homeowners tell me, well, we just use oven cleaner. I'm like, don't tell. I don't want to know. Don't tell me. La, 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 la. I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Or even like these cleaners that use the oven cleaner, like, and I mean, go for it. You know, I'm natural. So of course I don't use oven cleaner, but when you clean the ovens and they don't put something down underneath the oven and they have these wood floors and they spray the oven cleaner and it drips down into these beautiful wood floors and then it eats the wood floors.
Right.
That can cause an insurance. So it comes back to the training, you guys. So really right. Be training.
And you should, and while we're talking about, well, I was going to do a whole episode on just oven cleaning, but you should have in your oven cleaning kit, I'm not going to talk about all of the details of what that is. You should have some sort of, and you need to ask this when you're like, we've had five oven cleanings this week. I need my oven cleaned. It is because Easter's coming and I just clued in that Easter is coming and I'm like, the kids have no school tomorrow. Oh no. So the wood floor thing is a good reminder. So you should actually have extra towels when you are spraying oven cleaner and they have the new LVT floors or the wood laminate or whatever they've had installed in their kitchen, which looks absolutely beautiful. You need to use due diligence to check to make sure that chemical does not end up on the floor. We had two this week and I had to physically go over because they were all freaked out. And thankfully they were local on how to handle it delicate without ruining the floor. Because if you ruin the floor, it's a huge claim.
Yep. Or even the ovens that aren't meant to have oven cleaner. And
right. There's a lot of those. It should be steamed, right?
And is it a $2,000 oven or, you know, it's a Wolf oven and then you're not supposed to use oven cleaner in it and you do and you ruin it. Guess what? Insurance claim.
Right. And the insurance claim probably won't cover it because you should have known better. So when you have the floor situation, you need to have a big beach towel, an old towel, and you need to put plastic on it. So typically we put plastic on the bottom, beach towel, plastic on the top, and we're constantly checking to make sure nothing has dripped.
Yep.
Because, and it's like an every 15 minute timer, they're over there making sure. And that if anything does end up on the floor, that it's immediately addressed because you're wanting to check. And if it's a steam oven, which I have one, cause I just had to buy new appliances. Every appliance broke like Kim's last year.
Still happening for me.
There is a steam option. And I don't know. And this was a big topic with one of the homeowners this week, cause we were talking about oven cleaning. And she goes, when you steam it, she goes, I know when you do the self-cleaning cycle, and this is a food for thought, it releases this chemical that has five syllables. I can't think of it off the top of my head. And she had had birds and I have birds. So we were talking about that. And she goes, well, if you turn on the steam option, does it still release that chemical? I'm like, that is a good question because I have birds at my house. I have a lot of birds. So I don't want to hurt any of my birds, but I don't know if the steam would heat up enough to cause the chemical to be released or not. So this is a good question to know, right?
Exactly. And I have a YouTube that I made. So if you guys are interested, I made a YouTube video on how to clean an oven without the oven cleaner. And it's just as easy as if you had oven cleaner.
Right.
So you guys can check that out and we'll put that in the link if that's okay, Shannon.
Yeah, we can. And be careful with the Pure Evergreen product too, because it can, I'm not saying it will, but it could potentially leave a spot on the floor. So you also want to protect any chemical that you put down in an oven. You want to protect the floor, especially
exactly.
The LVT or MVT or GST or whatever it is.
Yeah, so always have that protection down.
For that. But I think those are the major ones for that. The other insurance claims I've seen in our industry is it's usually a solo lady who lives by herself who has a really large house who probably shouldn't be living on her own. And she went to too many rock concerts in the 60s, so she's a little hard of hearing and she doesn't hear that her her toilet that the cleaner went and checked and cleaned and washed everything off and flushed it is running, and then it overflows, and then there's an insurance claim there. Now, legitimately, as far as I've seen, you can file a claim because that's not gross negligence. That was just an accident. That's what happens. I've seen a lot of people where they had a two-level home and the person forgot to took a phone call and forgot to turn off the water, and the water kept running and running and running and then ran down the stairs. And then you see this big bubble that happens on the ceiling down below. I've seen that. That's a gray area. That's kind of an accident, but they should have known better. So it might not be covered. I mean, there's all of these things that can happen. So you want to be careful of those types of things. Shower doors. I've seen where an independent cleaner who didn't have insurance wanted her friend to see how fantastic this house was while the homeowner was, this happened here in town, while the homeowner was away. So this temporary helper went in and scratched her $2,000 shower door, etched it. And needless to say, both of those cleaners were MIA after. And I'm like, she didn't even tell the homeowner she scratched it. She's like, oh, they won't see it. I'm like, oh my God.
And the question is like, know when you need to file an insurance claim. You know, assess it. So if it's something that you could just pay, because you, I mean, we're not saying like file an insurance claim immediately. So like, let's say there was damage done and it was like $400 to $500, you know, for me, you know, when we did have something like that happen that we had to fix, I shelled out $400, $500 for my business and I put money away. So those of you guys know me, I've always been a saver. So I'm like, I always save that money just in case for the emergency stuff. Because I didn't want to file an insurance claim because I knew my insurance would go up. So right. I just ended up taking that amount. So then the question is like, if they say, well, this was an antique and this was worth this amount. And that was like, or if it was like, this is new, but it was like, well, like say they had it like for 10 years, they want you to buy a brand new one. You need to assess it to see what the value of it is then, like for now. So like balance it out. So if you're able to pay out of pocket versus, you know, filing an insurance claim, save those insurance claims for something big.
Right. It's called fair market value. So if, hypothetically speaking, if you went in and did someone's laundry and they threw their suit in the laundry and said, this is an Armani suit, you now owe me $5,000. They have to provide a receipt. And if the receipt is older than a year, that suit is no longer worth $5,000. You need to renegotiate the price. Same thing with the antiques. Yeah. Some antiques we just won't touch because there is no fair market value. It's a piece of antiquity. And who wants to ruin someone's Picasso? I don't. So we just don't touch them. The homeowner is responsible. And it says, will not touch. We will not do this. And that way you can make sure that you're covering. And that's when you come and realize how good your negotiation skills are, because you're taking a really hot potato fresh from the oven and you're trying to renegotiate as delicately as possible, because perceived value is actually not fair market value. And make sure that you understand what that is, so that you don't get crazy insurance claims. You owe me $9,000 because I've had this vase for 15 years. We actually had someone who put an old photo, I believe this was last year, over her dog bowl of her and her sister. And she wanted $900 for the replacement of said photo. And I flat out told her no, that we would not replace the photo. I was happy to replace the copy of the photo because I'm sure everyone has digital copies of everything. And I go, and on top of it, I go, I don't actually account. If you nailed it in the wall, I go, did the cleaner nail it in the wall? And she said, no. I said, well, then we touched it. But if it fell after we touched it, that's not my fault. That is your fault because you nailed it into the wall. And I go, and who stores old photos above a dog bowl?
Yeah.
But she wanted $900. Like, no, I don't think so.
I did that house, and I've talked about it before on, you know, in our podcast, the archaeologist's house. Mm-hmm. The ones with the two couples that have, they do archaeology. So it's like just art, like old pots. Like there is like this wedding pot that's like was created and it was like, I don't even know how many years old. It was old.
Right. Thousands.
They had stuff all over and they had like these luxury chairs and like their house was just gorgeous. And I remember before I even started with them, I let them know, I'm like, okay, well, this is our insurance, but you know, this is how we're going to clean it. Some of these things we will not clean. You know, because it's just, we can't replace it, the value, like, and I let them know. And I said, what are some places you do not want us to absolutely touch? And so they showed us. So like, that was one thing, you know, we uploaded pictures into their file. So my cleaners knew what not to touch. So be really specific, because that would have been expensive. If we had broken a pot, that would be really pricey.
There isn't a value on pieces of antiquity. That's why we just don't have some. There is no perceived value on what that could do. Obviously, if it's a museum piece, I've had clients who actually had pilgrim chairs. And so for those of you who do not know what a pilgrim chair is, it legitimately is a piece that should be in a museum, but it is not. It's been handed down from generation to generation. And I would have to tell, she also had, you know, $200,000 Indian rugs. She had the artist's name on the back for insurance reasons. Everything was cataloged. But I would have to tell people, I'm like, so if you're in this house and you need a stepladder, you better not step on that pilgrim chair to get up where you need to go, because you will break it. That pilgrim chair is from the pilgrims, as it traveled across country in the era of pilgrims in the United States. So it's like 500 years old or whatever, right? So it's those are the dynamics of teaching and understanding that we don't use antiques for stepladders, right? She used all of her antiques, but I was like, she was the only person that I had on my list where I'm like, you have to stay home while they clean. She was the only one. Normally I want them out of the way, but I'm like, if something were to happen with them, I want her to be there to assess it and address it right away. And there were certain things that we didn't touch. Like you, she had the $200,000 Indian rugs. They're dyed differently with beetles and stuff. So you couldn't get water on that. It would make everything run. And each carpet tells a story of Indian heritage.
It sounds like my archaeologist house.
Right. So you're just like, you know, you're like, okay, yeah. So don't drop water on the carpet.
And I charge. Make sure you guys charge for those houses. So like, that's when we went to this house, you know, I charged way more than what I charged for my normal houses, because it took us a lot longer to clean that house because we had to be so careful.
And it's stressful.
Yes. I probably got gray hair when I started. So yeah, that's like a whole thing in insurance. It's the do's and don'ts, knowing when to file a claim and when not to file a claim. And training is our big thing that Shannon and I always say, train, 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 educate.
Training is definitely part of it. Well, if you don't have anything else to contribute to the insurance conversation, or if you want to continue the insurance conversation, please reach out. If you have any questions, obviously Kim and I are not insurance agents,
no,
but we can try to walk you through what needs to be walked through. And we, you know, we just want the best for what you guys are doing, and you need to have insurance. It's just the cost of doing business. So please make sure you do the don'ts. Even with your insurance, sometimes you'll see your general liability, you'll have marine insurance, and that is actually extra insurance to cover your equipment when you have W-2s. Should someone break into your office and get a cleaning frenzy and want to steal all your vacuums. That's when we stored them at the office. We don't do that. That was like years ago. I'm like, why do I have marine insurance? I don't have my boat on this insurance policy. Why do I have that there? But
reach out to us if you guys got questions. Tag us. I know that I'm not on all the time because life gets busy with Shannon and I both have kids and crazy animals in the house and chickens in the house. So we get busy. So feel free to tag us if you guys have questions.
Most definitely. Well, I look forward to seeing you guys soon. If you have any questions, reach out. Take care.
Bye, you guys.
Bye.